Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Paul was talking about his ancestors, the Israelites of old. Verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And by the grace of God, I'm going to deal with that more fully on tomorrow, if the Lord tarries his coming. Paul continues, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And so the question this morning is, dear friends, is God well pleased with you? You know whether or not he's well pleased with you. I would venture to say that God is not well pleased with most of us who claim to be Christians, who name the name of Christ. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, it is so good to be here with you today. It is such a wonderful thing that you would put this in our hearts to do and give us the might, the strength, and the power to do it, and the life to do it. For our days are swiftly passing by. And as we used to say back in the day, one life to live, it'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So Lord, help us to confess our sins more, to repent of our sins completely. Help us to pray more, help us to witness more, help us to get back to the old landmarks. Have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us. And forgive us of our sins of worldliness and materialism, and forsaking you for this sin-cursed world, trying to make the church look like the world. We used to be the old ship of Zion, and now we're a Disney cruise ship. God, have mercy and grace upon us, and help us, Lord, to repent. Help us to get back to where we used to be and do what we used to do. And I pray for the remnant. We thank you for them. They know who they are, and you know who they are. Help them to stand strong and keep the faith. In Jesus Christ's name, we do pray for the salvation of those who are lost around us and among us, and for the revival of the saved. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, and his demons and his hosts, who's always constantly fighting against us, trying to hinder your gospel from going forward, and your holy word from going forward, and Christians from coming back to you. Help us to pray, help us to seek your face, help us to turn from our wicked ways. Help us to humble ourselves before you, and help us to get back to you, Lord Jesus, our first love. For it is in your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Baptist preacher Benjamin E. Mays, the civil rights era champion and educator, said, "It isn't more light we need. It isn't more truth and it isn't more scientific data that we need. It is more Christ, more Jesus. Amen, somebody. He said we need more courage, more spiritual insight to act on the light we already have. Beloved, in light of these things that are written for our example and admonition, in this series, we are mapping, by the grace of God, the spiritual, therefore moral and political, social condition of our nation through the recorded experiences of the people of God. Allow me to hip you to something. God is big on people looking back to what has already happened. He's big on this. If you read the Bible, he's not big on doing things over and over and over again himself. He's big on us looking back at examples of what happened in the past. God is so loving and so merciful, he really does not want to do Sodom and Gomorrah again. He wants you to read what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Can somebody say amen? He's not big on that, on doing things over and over again, showing a new generation the same thing he showed a previous generation. He wants you to read and he wants you to remember what has already happened. Just like any good parent wants you to remember, and some parents get frustrated because you act like you can't remember the behind whipping you got just last week. The overarching principle that we see through God's dealings with Israel is simple. And I told you that before, that God is big on simple. For the question comes, why would God make things difficult for such ignorant, sinful people as we are? Oftentimes acting like we just don't get it at all. And we have to go through chastisement and rebuke 70 times before the light comes on. That God does not want us to do that. Can somebody say amen? God bestows national and individual blessings on an obedient people. And obedient individuals. He likewise bestows national curses and individual curses on a disobedient people and individuals. It is quite amazing how some of our newfangled theologians somehow think that God has changed. God has not changed, my beloved. Just because we have the Old Testament and the New Testament, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, God makes it clear that I change not. I'm still the same. Unfortunately, beloved, our nation has been largely disobedient, haven't we? And one of the problems with our generation today, particularly in the last two or three generations, and by the way, the generation that the baby boomers produced, there's two or three of them, the most populous millennial, that's not their fault that they don't understand what's going on. It's our fault. But the strange thing about us today, we are so proud, and some of us have been infected with what I call pharaohistic pride, which is very dangerous. You get hit with 10 plagues or 10 episodes of chastisement by God, and you bow up still against God and rebel and end up in hell somewhere messing around and get drowned in the sea because you refuse. God in his love has brought plagues against your life and has chastised you and rebuked you and warned you, sent Moses by to warn you, and you still, may God help us, you still, after not just days, weeks, months, years of painful, humiliating, embarrassing chastisement, and you still, just like Pharaoh, won't repent, and you get drowned in the sea. Your life is destroyed. There are many people like that, folks. We have many folk like that today in America. Arrogant and proud. The Bible calls people like this. I'm not saying, I'm not calling you this. God calls you this. Fools. It's foolishness. When you know to do right, and you get chastised for doing wrong, and you keep on doing wrong, that's foolishness, people. That's foolishness. So unfortunately, our nation has been largely foolish in its behavior, disobedient. And we are suffering national curses and national destruction. You can thank God is playing if you want to, but God is slowly but surely and lovingly and mercifully dismantling America piece by piece in loving warning. And if we don't repent, if we don't pray, saints, and repent and turn from our evil ways and humble ourselves. Some of you are wondering why Zion Williamson is so great. You know why? Because he's a humble kid. His father left him at the age of five or four. Mother, father got a divorce. Apparently they have not been that close. Mother married somebody else. Thank God for that man who stepped in and raised that boy. But Zion is not bitter. Zion is not mad. You can't be that great and be bitter and mad to people. You need to understand. He's humble. He's having the time of his life. And on Father's Day, he thanked his stepfather for being there for him. This is what he said. Since the age of four. But then he said to his natural father, which evidently they're not that close, but share the same amazing athletic ability, because his father played football for NC State. He said, Father, he said, Dad, he said, I still have love for you. Now, that's the grace of God right there. And he's a believer. His grandmother told his mother, said, look here, give him a special name. His father's name is Latif, I think, and his middle name is Latif. But his mother gave him the name Zion. And guess what? Thank God for his mother. She's a humble person. God bless her. And God is blessing her. Big time. She's humble. Humble. See, God will raise you up if you're humble. And she's humble because she coached she coached him. Not his natural dad. The stepdad stepped in. He was a basketball player. He helped too. But the mother coached his basketball team and coached him. And now she's great and he's great. If you're humble, God will raise you up. And we need more humility is what I'm saying in the country. We need more humility in the church. We have too many big eye pastors who think they all that in a bag of chips. It ain't worth a flip. Didn't mean to rhyme, but I rhyme all the time. So what are our sins, my beloved? Many of them are the same as Israel's. Forsaking God for everything else. False gods. Idolatry, abandoning the faith of our fathers, the old school church. Yes, there were some things that were wrong in the old school church, but I'll tell you one thing, they knew how to get a hold of God. That's how they got you through. That's why you were the first one to graduate from college, okay? And that's why you got some sense, because they prayed you through. Some of y'all are wondering why your grandmother was sitting on the porch with her hands like this, with a switch in her hand, and a snuff pot right to the right. Y'all don't see, some of y'all don't know about stuff. Back in the day, that's what the old grandmothers did. They'll get some snuff. I don't even know what it is. Some tobacco on the side of their mouth, and they'll talk to you. They have a can to their right, and they'll spit and keep on talking. And if you act crazy, they're ready to whip you behind. They always had a switch nearby, or they'll make you go get one. And you wonder why she's always sitting on the porch like this, like in a praying situation. You know what she was praying? She was praying for you. And she was also praying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me not to whip these children in anger. I got one hard-headed one. Lord, I don't want to break forth on them. Lord, help me to do it right. That's what she was praying. She was praying for you. She was praying that she would not hurt you when she chastised you for your evil, hard-headed. See, we were hard-headed back in those days. I don't know what the people call them today. Hard-headed. Well, America's been hard-headed. We have been hard-headed, the church. And it's not America in general. I'm talking about the church. The church. We are the problem. Because if we had done what we were supposed to do in obeying Christ, then we wouldn't be in the mess we're in today. We have abandoned the faith of our fathers, engaging in hypocritical religious practices. Our mouths are near God, but our hearts are far, far from God. Nowhere close to God. Way back in the boonies somewhere. The heart is, some hearts are in hell itself. Selfishness. Mothers are selfish today. Back in the day, if she didn't eat, she made sure her children and her man ate, and she got joy out of making sure they ate. My mother, who was raised by the old school mothers, could throw down in the kitchen, my dear friends. I mean, the flat throw down, nothing like it. I've never seen anything like it. She could make fish and grits with some butter on top, make your tongue slap your brain out your head all day long. She can make some chitlins. Y'all don't know anything about that. But I saw my mother oftentimes fix a massive breakfast or a huge Sunday dinner and stand at the counter and nibble on something while everybody else ate. Got fathers who are selfish, only concerned about themselves, have no concern, no care, no natural affection for their children today. In the church, everybody trying to be somebody. Everybody trying to make it. So they can try to impress people who don't, frankly, they can care less. Idolatry. And then sexual immorality. In the church. Fornication. Rampant. Sneak and hide fornication. Quick fornication. Quick is a big time among young people today. You can come over, but I don't have long. And Bo Peep said it won't take long. Adultery. Got men in the church and women in the church sharing men for their sexual needs. And homosexuality, like we've never seen before in the history of this country. Other national sins we see only as a shadow in ancient Israel. Racism and prejudice and pride. The rise of white nationalism and black nationalism. If we don't confess our sins and if we don't repent and get our hearts right, we're going to see the second civil war, and it's going to be worse than the first one. Pornography has ruined, has destroyed the hearts and minds of many men, has blown the minds of many men. I feel sorry for women today. Because they don't understand, these women are there wearing their little hot pants and wearing their little poured on tight jeans that they can hardly get out of. There's no way possible. And their little yoga pants, they don't understand. They think these men want them to be their lawfully wedded wife, and she wants him to treat her like a queen. Most men are not thinking like that in this day and time because of pornography. They are thinking of all of the angles they can use your body to satisfy their lust. And they're not going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you. That's what they're thinking. They want to use your body to satisfy their lust in any way that they can. And then abortion, babies killing babies. Some women use abortion like they use birth control. And on we can go. There's so much evil coming out today in the news worldwide. We own a news organization and we can't even keep up with it. Listen to me very carefully. If you don't put up 200 stories today in the news world, you're not keeping up with what's going on. People are losing their minds because of the evil in their hearts, even in the church. And sad to say, we have almost just as much evil going on in the church and coming out in the news that we do in the world. So check the news and you will see. And for some of you, I say don't check the news. You can't handle it. It's too much. But you will see the tide of evil that washes over our land. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say one more thing to give you hope. And then I'm going to have to cut it short today. A passage we will return to time and time again by the grace of God as we go through this series. is Isaiah 58. God instructed his prophet to cry aloud, "Spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." My God, help us. Because we act like we can't see our sins. And some of us can. We have seared our conscience with a hot iron. Some people are so evil and so wrong, their default mode is to lie. I mean, they just automatically just go to a lie. Automatically go to thievery. I told someone recently that because you did this evil, and you have been shown grace and forgiveness, but the authorities have told you, don't you do that again. You know why they told you that? Because they have studies and stats on people who commit a certain sin. You slap them on the hand, they will do it again. So take advantage of this grace and this favor, and move on down the road and do what you're supposed to do. Otherwise, because next time, just because they didn't put you in jail this time, next time they're going to put you in jail, because even though you don't have anything on your record, they got something on their records that they warned you. So that is what we aim to accomplish by the grace of God, not only to show America's sins, to show America her sins, but also to prescribe a remedy for our national sickness. And by the way, it's not in the president, people. Remember now, you're the president. You, the people. Remember that we take pride in this as Americans now. Remember now, it's not the president, it's the people. We're messed up. So you can vote in anybody you want. It's not going to change anything until the people change. And right now, this country is in trouble. The most blessed country in the history of the world outside of Israel. None of the other kingdoms can compare. And I thank God for America. Man, God has been good to me in America. I thank God I was born in America. I am an American. And so, in the words of one old preacher, I am naturally concerned. That remedy, like the problem, is also found in Holy Scripture, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. This remedy shows us that it is not too late for America to become a shining city on a hill, a light to all the world, because she proclaims the gospel to every corner of the world. And with that, even though I have a whole lot more to say, I'm going to have to close today because I have to take my son somewhere. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ today. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for the power of your holy word. Not only because it moves us, but we pray today that it would change us. Help us to find a place and confess our sins. Our marriage sins, our family sins, our foolishness, our financial sins, our material sins, being materialistic, having bad attitudes, our attitude sins, hatefulness towards people we should love, not having natural affection traitors, Judases, backstabbers. Where we have grieved your Holy Spirit away and quenched your Holy Spirit, Lord, help us to confess, to go back to that point and confess the sin. We know, we all know where we need to go back to. Lord, help us to sing that song, Take Me Back. Help us to get back to you, our first love. For Lord, you are the God of grace and mercy and favor and new beginnings. If we do our part, you would turn things around, because you love us more than we love ourselves. You want blessings to fall upon us more than we want the blessings. And Lord, today we pray for the salvation of the lost and the revival of the saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you may be seated. If you are with us today, either here or in China, probably because of the crackdown, we have a huge audience in China now, in the Philippines, Russia, Saudi Arabia, the Emirates, Kenya, Nigeria, wherever you are, Paris, London. We thank God for each and every one of you. But if you're listening today or you're watching live, wherever you are in the world, if you are a Christian listening today, here are three things you need to do. Number one, confess and repent of your own sins. You already know what they are. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent of their sins and get back to their first love. Three, pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to somebody. Tell somebody about Jesus. Do something. Get a gospel tract and pass it out. You say, preacher, what is a gospel tract? Shame on you. Shame on those who are over you. It's a little pamphlet that you pass out that contains the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If people would read it, they could get saved. Many have. D.L. Moody used to call it the corporatage ministry many years ago. Some of the greatest publishers of materials down through history have been Christians. And there are places where you can get free gospel tracts. They'll send you 100, they'll send you 1,000 if you pass them out. So do something. Now, if you're with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and get your soul saved from hell, eternal death in hell, which is the punishment for sin if you don't trust Christ as Savior. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have failed God. Nobody's perfect from the Pope on down. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. There's a punishment for sin. Do not take it lightly. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin. Our bodies, that's why we have funerals. That's why we have graveyards. Our body will be dropped into a grave one day because of sin. That's the reason why you die. Now you know. Our soul will go to hell if we have never trusted Christ as Savior in this life. This is your opportunity to trust Christ as Savior. Why? Because hell is real. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ said one time in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him. Fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is an awful place, a place of torment, a place of darkness, a place of a torturing memory, a place of constant torment and pain. Hell is bad news, my dear friend. God does not want you to go to hell. That's why he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose from the dead on the third day. We're getting ready to honor that and remember that during the holiday that we call Easter, the resurrection of Christ. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Perish where? Eternally in hell. But have everlasting life where? In heaven with God, with Jesus, with the saints, and with the angels. That's where you want to be. So do it today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Believing in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, even including yours and mine. Just believe on him. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to be in church. I got saved in the Air Force dorm room. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. You don't have to pay any money to be saved. You don't have to do any good works to be saved. Just trust Christ. He did all the good works. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. So if you're willing, if you're ready to trust Christ as Savior and take advantage of this eternal life insurance policy already paid for by the blood of Christ, then believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save you, and I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I've done evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul today and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your heart today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or any one of our other emails and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.